We're living through a time when we happen to have a solar eclipse happening this year, this week actually, which of course is defined as an event when the moon passes in front of the sun, blocking its light and causing a period of darkness from the perspective of Earth. Many cultures personified the sun and moon as celestial beings to describe this eclipse. Sometimes these stories involve dragons, for example, in China, where the sun is said to have been devoured by one, and people would play drums and make loud noises to frighten away the dragon to save the sun, which of course always works as the sunlight returns. The Vikings believed an eclipse occurred when the wolf Skoll, who pursues the sun goddess Sol across the sky, finally catches up with her. If Skoll succeeds in swallowing Sol and plunging the world into darkness, it heralds the start of Ragnarok, a battle between the gods and the end of the world.
They tried to scare away the wolf. Vikings believed that their actions caused the sun to return.
In Hindu tradition, eclipses were caused by shadowy demons Rahu and Ketu, who were once part of a divine serpent. The Inca called the sun god Inti, and solar eclipses were understood to be a sign of his wrath and displeasure, so fasting and sacrifices were offered. Some Native American tribes attribute the eclipse to a mischievous squirrel. Others say the sun was caught in a trap. And in Africa, there are legends of the sun and moon getting into a quarrel. In the esoteric traditions of the earliest Aryan civilizations around Anatolia, such as the Hittites, and also major empires in Mesopotamia, such as the Sumerians and later Babylonians, the male and female attributes of the celestial bodies coming together were highlighted by rituals involving a sacred marriage, or sex magic, which was the foundation of an occult tradition which has been carried out by secret societies until today. Many people have heard of the 33rd degrees of Freemasonry, which some have claimed arises from the number of vertebrae in the human body. I disagree with this assessment because, while it does involve the generative principle or force derived from the union of male and female polarity that can have a profound spiritual effect when directed up the spine, not all people have the same number of vertebrae, so the reference is not necessarily material or physical. The esoteric reason, which is revealed at the highest levels of initiation, has to do with the lunar and solar calendar aligning every 33 years. A solar year is 365 days, and a lunar year is 354 days long. After every 33 years, they align, which is significant to cultures which placed a lot of emphasis on astrology, such as the Babylonians, whose religious practices are encoded in the texts of Abrahamic faiths. The reason for this can be traced back roughly 2,600 years ago to the Israelite captivity, which lasted for about 50 years. This came to an end when Babylon was conquered by what became the Persian Empire, and King Cyrus the Great allowed them to return to Jerusalem in 538 BC. Of course, some did return to the Levant, others stayed, and still others traveled to places like Turkey, Greece, and Egypt, having been exposed to the esoteric mystery school practices of the Chaldean Magi, or possibly having Aryan Magi joining their ranks, the alchemical knowledge based on the seven planetary gods were dispersed through much of the world. In Alexandria, Egypt, this was expressed as Hermeticism. In Greece, this was infused into the mystery cults of Dionysus, among others, and emerged in the rites of the philosophers, Pythagoreans, and Neoplatonists. and esoteric Christianity, it is known as Gnosticism. In parts of Europe, it was disguised as alchemy, where the seven planets were symbolic of stages or grades of initiation, with Saturn regarded as lead, which is then converted to solar or spiritual gold. In Islam, these practices emerge in certain Sufi sects. And in Jewish mysticism, it is known as Kabbalah. One needs only to look at the flag of modern Israel to see the symbolism expressed as the Star of David, which is also known as the Seal of Solomon, who was said to have been a magician. This ancient pre-Judaic alchemical symbol does not appear anywhere in the Orthodox Jewish faith, but has its esoteric roots with the Aryan Magi, or magicians, where the joining of two pyramids represent unification of male and female polarities, a central theme in creation and manifestation, which astronomically or astrologically is expressed by the sun and moon, which brings us back full circle to the eclipse. In the ancient Hittite capital of Hattusha, there are some dramatic rock reliefs depicting cosmic narratives inscribed in the rock, which are illuminated annually by the shadows created by the sun at various points in the year. These reference periods when the royal lineage is engaged in sexual rites for purposes of renewal of the land and other esoteric practices regarded as magic. The Hittites are regarded as the earliest offshoot of the Proto-Indo-Europeans, or Aryans, as can be recognized by their conical headdress, which can also be seen in other cultures, such as the Scythians, Phoenicians, Tarim Basin Aryans, the Magi, Egyptians, and Easter celebrations, which of course have to do with the resurrection of Christ, but in pre-Christian times is mirrored in the yearly resurrection of spring, an annual cycle of birth, death, and rebirth, also symbolically reflected in the swastika since antiquity, which was eventually replaced by the cross. Of course, the conical hat is also made notorious by the KKK, which incidentally, K is the 11th letter of the alphabet, where K plus K plus K equals 33, which I touched on earlier in reference to Freemasonry, which has been shown to have been infiltrated around the time leading up to the French Revolution by a secret society known as the Illuminati, founded by Adam Weishaupt, who many people have heard of. What most people are unaware of, however, is that the other founders were Amschel Rothschild and Jacob Frank, a self-professed successor to Sabbatai Zevi, a Kabbalist that declared himself Messiah in the year 1666. His following include half of the world's Jewish population at the time, before he was excommunicated out of mainstream Judaism, subsequently converting into Islam, along with many of his followers who have continued his teachings in secret, which proclaim that redemption is available through acts of sin. Jacob Frank claimed to be the reincarnation of Sabbatai Zevi, and after also claiming to be the Messiah, he converted into Catholicism with tens of thousands of his followers, who carried on the tradition of subversion of religion and governments, while practicing occult rituals in secret, which, from a modern perspective, can be considered satanic. Bringing me to some hidden camera footage I'd like to show from a Masonic lodge in Turkey during a ritual attended by members of the 33rd degree, who are also wearing similar attire. The following was aired on Turkish national television. In other recordings which were published shortly after these shocking videos, Masonry in Turkey has been completely exposed. In these videos, a satanic worship ritual is being performed where only 33rd degree Masons can join in. The senior master who managed the ritual was drinking the blood of a goat, which was sacrificed for Satan on the middle of the lodge floor, and he was finalizing the satanic worship ritual by saying some prayers in the language of Hebrew. Even though the ritual included Hebrew, which in its ancient form is identical to Phoenician, the scene is not what one expects to see in a typical Jewish household or synagogue, and that's because it predates Judaism. Many ancient ritualistic practices survived the fall of Babylon and were cloaked into various esoteric aspects of modern religions and higher degrees of secret societies, where adepts carry out a legacy of mystery school religions which allegedly stem all the way from the Pleistocene, when Atlantis was allegedly said to have existed. Of course, there was no such thing as the term Jews during the Ice Age. According to the Bible, they originated as descendants of Jacob, a patriarch that was later renamed Israel, and whose offspring then formed the 12 tribes, which is a coded reference to the 12 zodiac signs, a significant number in the Chaldean and Babylonian mystery school religions of the Magi, who subscribed to a god of time, which was represented as a cube with 12 edges. In other words, the universe, or space-time, was postulated as being a cube, which later comes down to us as Kronos, the god of time in Greek mythology, and Saturn in Roman. While modern Hebrew is constructed of a new script and includes borrowed words from Arabic, Aramaic, Latin, and other European languages, the original Old Block Hebrew is virtually indistinguishable from Phoenician, a seafaring civilization that mystery school religions claim inherited their linguistic and esoteric rituals from their Atlantean forefathers. While the Phoenician alphabet is originally derived from Egyptian hieroglyphics and not from cuneiform, the numerical values that are present in sacred geometry, astrology, and Kabbalah numerology share the same origins, which were introduced to the southern Levant by Aryan tribes from northern Iran and Turkey that started the Chalcolithic or Copper Age and were the blue-eyed, fair-skinned nobility and priest class of the Sumerian, Babylonian, and Phoenicians, from where Judaism and other Abrahamic faiths derive their occult mysticism.
Is the numerical system, eh? Each letter is a number, like the Hebrew A, Aleph, it's one. B, Bet, it's two. You understand? But look at this. The numbers are interrelated. Like, take the Hebrew word for father, Av, Aleph, Bet. 1, 2 equals 3. All right? Hebrew word for mother, aim, aleph, mem. 1, 40 equals 41. Sum of 3 and 41, 44. All right? Now, Hebrew word for child. All right? Mother, father, child. Yelad. That's 10, 30, and 4. 44. Torah is just a long string of numbers. Some say that it's a code sent to us from God.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's just kid stuff. Check this out, okay? The word for the Garden of Eden, Kedem. Numerical translation, 144. Now, the value of tree of knowledge, all right, in the garden, right? Eitz HaChayim, 233. 144, 233. Now, you can take those numbers.
So, the... You know, like the Fibonacci sequence?
Fibonacci
is an Italian mathematician in the 13th century. If you divide 144 into 233, the result approaches theta.
Theta?
Theta. The Greek symbol. The golden ratio, the golden spiral.
Wow. I never saw that before. It's like that series you find in nature, like the face of a sunflower.
Where are the spirals?
You see this math everywhere.
Of course, mathematics and sacred geometry that permeates all of nature and are found in what has become known as the occult, which simply means hidden, are not inherently evil. But when power or covert influence is derived from esoteric knowledge that is withheld from a manipulated public, then it is considered a dark art. According to occult author Manly Hall, black magic can trace its roots back to Atlantis and is a tradition that has been passed down into our modern era by certain sects which have covertly infiltrated various religions as a heretical offshoot, but are not really part of the mainstream or orthodox faith. This was the case with certain sects within Zoroastrianism, the religion of ancient Persia, whose occult practices were inherited from the Babylonians before them and passed on through mystical offshoots of Jews to other parts of the world, eventually entering Europe through the Knights Templar, re-emerging in Kabbalistic orders such as the Rosicrucians, and later with the Freemasons. That said, I recently had a brief discussion on the Alex Jones Show where I was asked about the relevance of the current eclipse and wanted to take a moment to articulate the idea that these occult practices should not be attributed to any one religion, as it would be careless and inaccurate to do so, as most members of any given faith are unaware of the occult rituals, which in many cases have been publicly denounced by the religious leaders long ago and forced to go underground.
We're already getting loaded up with speakers, all sorts of interesting people from different fields. We also got some folks on Skype. Chase Geyser's honchoing this. Tell us what's coming up, and then give me your view on this.
Yeah, so we've got a lot of people that have agreed to pop in. This is the first time that we've done a space not as spontaneously as we usually do. Usually we decide to do a space maybe 30 minutes before the show, and then we just launch one. So for the past couple of days, we've scheduled this, got everybody hyped up. We've already got close to 2,000 people in the space. We've only been live for about 8 or 9 minutes or so, so this is great. We've got some awesome speakers that are going to pop in. Jack Poso is... as Alex mentioned, and others, Adrian Dittman, I believe, is joining us as well. I reached out to Andrew Tate. He asked what time it was in Bucharest, so maybe he'll pop in. We're not sure. It's going to be 1 a.m., I believe, for him. But a lot of great speakers popping in already.
We got anthropologists. We got reporters. We got champion boxers. We got everybody here, Chase.
Absolutely. It's been awesome. So, Robert Sepper, if you're still with us, I know you've been a speaker for a long time. Go ahead and unmute yourself and say what you have to say. If you're not there, then we'll move on. Give you a second. There you go.
Great. Thanks. How you guys doing? I just want to say hello to Alex and acknowledge what a big impact he had in 2016 getting Trump elected, and it's great to have him back on the platform. It's a noticeably better platform with Alex on it. And I just wanted to touch on Jews if I could. As an anthropologist, you know, this schmooly's kind of going viral, and I wanted to remind people there's different kinds of Jews. There's atheists, there's religious Jews, there's different kinds of religious Jews. There are some sects that have been excommunicated. So it's not, you know, we shouldn't lump them all together. There are some that you can politically align with and some that are, you know, my point is they're not a homogenous, monolithic demographic. Thank you, Alex.
Well, thank you. So will you give us your view as an anthropologist on human obsession with eclipses, solar and lunar, and why you think this is being hyped?
Well, you know, there's an occult or esoteric aspect to religions, a Kabbalistic aspect that predates Judaism and all the Abrahamic faiths. And this goes into basically periods of the year where they do rituals. And there's a lot of truth to that. So the idea is that there's certain energies that are available. And not to get too, you know, X-rated, but there, you know, a lot of the rumors are true. There are sexual things that happen. There are, you know, blood things and what have you. So it's kind of dark. But like I said, I don't want to make any kind of blanket generalizations on any one group. So it's kind of a sect that's within all the other religions. So it's not just within.
That's very wise what you said, because the Republicans just put out a big list of what they say is anti-Semitic. And I disagree with most of it. But what is anti-Semitic is to say that Jews all secretly work together and agree with each other. That is ridiculous. And to claim any human group does that is a lie. And I'm not here as an apologist for Jews, but the idea that evil inherently comes from Jews is a load of shit. But also then sitting back and saying you can't criticize carpet bombing civilians, That is BS too. Or defending Hamas. People are like, oh, you don't like what Israel's doing. Now you like Hamas. No, I don't. So it's like people have to do research. They have to be nuanced here. It's very frustrating. And if they get us in these camps, they can control us.
Agreed. And, you know, there's certainly a sect that wants to escalate this whole situation. And most of us, you know, are sympathetic with the Jews that were taken hostage, sympathetic with these pictures of children starving. But there's a sect that wants to have this, like you were touching on earlier with the temple, and wants a global escalation, wants to bring it to Europe and to America. And really, they're trying to use Revelation as a playbook, and they want to bring about, this catastrophe so they can then usher in the world the way they want it.
No, after, I agree, you know, but what's scary is that then the Shiites, particularly, they have their own version, and they're just as crazy.
Yeah, exactly. I wrote a book called 1666, and it's about a sect that converted into Islam, converted into Catholicism, the Donme, and then Jacob Frank. So they've infiltrated every group. So it's really a hidden hand, and, you know, it's counterproductive to just name a group because they really infiltrated everything. They're
by the way, I agree, and I would use that as Frank Herbert trying as a decoder with his book Dune. The later books are not that good because I read them all, but the first one's really good. I already studied history, and I went, wait, these are all metaphors for history. The Bene Gesserit are in every group, every religious group, but they're the cult controlling it.
Exactly. So with Jews, since they're such a powerful demographic, it's wise to align with the ones that are, you know, politically on our side, let's say, rather than to vilify or demonize the whole group. And, you know, other than that, I just wanted, again, thank you. I don't want to hog up too much time here, but you're doing a great job, Alex, and we support you. So
thank you so much. I can't believe how smart these people, the speakers are. This is just...
My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. My published work is available on Amazon and through all other major book outlets. There should be a link in the description. Please subscribe for future updates. Leave your thoughts below. Have a wonderful weekend, and I hope to see you again soon.